I'll be reading from Romans 3, verses 9 through 26. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not understand. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
Optical illusions are when something isn't quite what it seems. And we looked at a few last week. I want you to look at a few this week, all right? These are interesting, all right? So if you go ahead and put that first picture up there, I don't know if you see that or not, but you better look at this picture. This is chalk art by an artist by the name of Edgar Mueller, all right? Now, it looks like a dangerous fall could happen. You see those people walking, and they're walking right by that chasm? Yeah, well, that's not real, all right? That's just chalk art. It's just on a flat street. But it looks so real. It's an optical illusion. And he does others. Let's go to the next one. All right. Those are real people sitting there, but it's just on a street. Again, it looks like they're headed towards real danger, but they're not. It's an optical illusion. And one more. All right. Again, it's in a parking lot or something, and it looks like there's a terrible drop there, but there's not. It's all just chalk art. It's amazing. And if you go online, you can find other artists and things who do the same thing. And it seems like it's real. And, you know, if I was walking by there, I'd probably, because I'm not too big on heights. So I would not be very happy with that. But, you know, it's one of those things that our mind sees it and it thinks that it's real. And the same thing can be true with ideas. You know, certain ideas seem like they're right, but they're illusions. All right, they're not true. It's not real. It's not the truth. And last week we talked about the illusion that sin's no big deal. You know, it's God's going to just kind of wink at it and he's going to forgive us and it doesn't really matter. But we found out that sin is a big deal. And that sin leads to death. Since the very beginning of mankind, sin has led to death. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world almost immediately because when God confronted them with their sin, the first thing he did was to kill some animals and to make some clothes for them from their skins, showing the result of their sin. Yeah, exactly. To show how bad it was, to see that it was, in a sense, a big deal. And the flood came because every inclination of man's heart was evil. And we see time and time again that God dealt with sin by allowing the consequences of sin to be fulfilled, and that is death. We even see that in the New Testament. Sometimes we like to look at God in the Old Testament and say, well, that was the mean, vengeful God. But in the New Testament, he was just all loving and caring. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Okay. Just like that. God allowed them, their sin, the consequences of their sin to be fulfilled immediately. And so today, we look at the idea that, yeah, sin is a big deal, but that's okay because I'm basically a good person. And the idea that most people are basically good people. You know, we look out there and we go around the world and we go around the community and stuff and we say, man, he's a good guy. This person's a good person. And we tend to think that people are basically good. And people do a lot of good things. Don't get me wrong. But the idea is that most of us have more check marks in the good column than we do in the bad column. Let me kind of illustrate this just a little bit. Okay? So we got this. We're going to mark two things here. We're going to have the good column and the bad column. Squeak, squeak. All right. So I went to church this morning. Good column. I prayed last night before I went to bed. Another good mark. Whoops. I told a little lie yesterday. All right. Oh, I read my Bible this morning. Okay. I took my aunt who's sick. I took her a meal. Oh, I said a bad word. Okay. And you get the idea, you know, the more we get over here, as long as we got more over here than over here, we're in good shape and God's going to let us into heaven. That's the way most people think, that there's a scale. Exactly. And it's going to be whether if we have more over here than over here, we're in good shape. That's not true. Okay. That's not true because it's not about which side has the most. It's about different. It's more about that we don't. Well, we get the idea that we. The other thing is that we think we don't really sin that bad. Okay, that's the point that I'm trying to get across. I lost it there for a minute. Lost my train of thought. But, you know, the other thing is we think, well, we don't really do bad sins after all. I don't murder anybody. I don't go out and steal. I don't do any things. Well, Jesus begs to differ with you. Okay? He begs to differ with you. In Matthew chapter 5, 21 and 22, it says, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." You know, the judgment, if you read a little farther, says of hell. All right. Fiery judgment. That's what he's saying. And he says, so it's not just murder, but he says, if you're angry with your brother. Now, I'm curious. Anybody here have been angry with their brother? I mean, enough to call them names, enough to yell harshly at them, to want bad things to happen, to say hurtful things. Have you ever been that angry at somebody that you did those things? Maybe threw things at them. Maybe wished they were dead. And well, if you have, you're subject to judgment as a murderer. So in a sense, you are a murderer. In Matthew 5, 28 and 28, it says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." I'm not going to have a show of hands, but have you ever looked at someone lustfully? It says here, you've committed adultery. Jesus says you committed adultery. So if you've committed adultery, what are you? An adulterer. Okay. I have a feeling here today that we have a lot of murderers and adulterers. Have you ever said something false about someone or made a statement that you knew was untrue? Well, then you're a liar. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Ever? Then you're a thief. You see, according to God's word, it isn't whether you have more good or bad check marks. It's whether or not you have sinned at all. In James chapter 2:10, it says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. So he's saying that if we stumble one point, One little sin. If you just told one little lie when you were 12, you're still guilty. All right? And that's what disqualifies you from being in God's presence for eternity. Any sin. So let me kind of illustrate this just a little bit. Let's say that I have some cake, or for those of you who don't like cake, a pie, or whatever you want it to be. I don't care. It could be lasagna. I don't care. Whatever you want. All right. And it looks lovely. I mean, it just looks really, really good. You know what I'm talking about? I shouldn't be talking about this before lunch. But let's say it just looks so delicious and you really are hungry and you just want to eat that. All right. Would you eat it? Probably. Most of you probably would. All right. Now, what I told you, though, that as part of that cake or pie or lasagna, there was a little bit of dog manure in it. Okay, not a whole lot, just a little bit. Right? Just a little bit. Now, I want to know, would you eat it? No. You would? It's just a little bit. All right. Now, I can understand if I told you there was a pound of dog manure in it, yeah, you wouldn't eat it, right? But what if it's just like an eighth of an ounce? Would you eat it? And I figure that most of us would not eat it if we knew it was in there. All right. If we knew it was in there, we would not eat it. Why? Mostly it's good stuff, isn't it? It's good stuff mostly. I mean, it's cake, but there's a little bit of dog manure in there. Or it's pie or lasagna or whatever you want it to be. It's mostly good stuff. The problem is it isn't pure. You know, Ivory Soap like to tout that it was 99.44% pure. But you know what that means? It isn't pure. All right. If it's got, what is that, 55.00% unpure, it's still unpure, isn't it? Any impurity makes it unpure. And so that's what's happening here. And so when it comes to being in a relationship with God, 99.44% 100% isn't going to make it. To be in God's presence, we have to be holy. We have to be pure. And so when Paul says that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, he says that we all deserve the consequences of our sin. And that is death. We all deserve that, no matter how many. We just have two. We're doing pretty good, first of all. But still disqualifies us from being in God's presence forever because we're impure. And it doesn't matter what type of sins they are. It doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And it causes us to be impure. Any presence of sin means that we are lost. Any presence of sin in our life means that we are lost. Our destiny then is separation from God the Father, who is the author and the giver of life. And if he's the author and the giver of life and we're separated from him, what does that mean? We have death. We have death. There's no heaven, no eternal life, no mansion up in glory. No hope. And yet, in the passage that Karen read, we see a little three-letter word, B-U-T, but. And this is a big but, and I cannot lie. I wondered if anybody would catch up. Anyhow. But it changes everything. That word, that little word, changes everything because it says that we only face judgment with our sin. That's all that we can face is judgment with our sin. But it changes. That but changes everything. Look at verse 21 through 26. It says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. See, that's the good news. That's the good news. That's why Jesus came. That's why he's here. It's what God has done. That's the gospel message, that we who are impure and can never do anything about that, that Jesus has paid the consequence for our sin by dying for us. See, God's justice had to be satisfied. He couldn't just say, I'll just forgive you. And that's what a lot of people think that God's going to do. But no, he couldn't. There had to be the penalty. He said the penalty for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And so he had, for justice to be done, there had to be satisfied. But God didn't want just justice. He wanted mercy for us. He wanted grace for us. And so even though there was a penalty for death, well, he took care of that penalty by sending Jesus to die in our place. And so God's justice and his mercy were both satisfied through Jesus Christ. What he did when we put our faith in him, you see, his blood washes away the sin that defiles us before God. You know, going back to that idea of the cake or the pie, whatever, with the dog manure in it. It's like something came along and just washed that out. Now would you eat it? Yeah, if you knew it was all gone, you'd eat it. And it's not that we are good. It's not that because we are good that God accepts us. It's because we have been purified. We have been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us different. That's why God accepts us into his kingdom. That's why he is building a place for us. Not because we're good, but because Jesus is good. And Jesus died for us. And we now have his righteousness upon us. We have been made pure again. Remember our dog Buddy, who passed away several years ago. Remember one time he was outside and he rolled in something that was nasty. I have no idea what it was, but it stunk bad. He came back in the house and we're just like, oh my goodness, Buddy, what did you get into? And he didn't care. All right. He didn't care. He was fine with it. And so he needed to be purified. He needed to be purified. And so what we did, we gave him a bath. You know, he couldn't do it. He couldn't give himself a bath. And he probably wouldn't if he could have, all right? But we did. And to be in our presence, he had to be purified. He had to be washed. He had to be clean. And so we washed him. And we let him back in the house. So we couldn't do what needed to be done to purify ourselves before God. We couldn't do it. And so God took care of our need through Jesus Christ. He took care of our need. He made sure that we had that purification process through Jesus, through his blood. And so we can never be good enough unless we're perfect. Perfect. Not a single sin. And I'm sure that everyone here would admit that they have sinned at least once. Today. And no. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So how about you? Have you placed your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and what he did in order that your sins might be washed away? Have you placed your faith in him so that you could be purified, to be able to stand in confidence before God because you know there is nothing impure in you, not because you're good, but because Jesus' blood has washed it away. Or maybe you've already accepted that gift, but you still have sins that sometimes soil your life and it hurts your relationship with God. Well, 1 John 1:9 tells us, and this is John talking to Christians. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Why does he do that? Because of Jesus. Because what Jesus did on the cross for us. Because he loved us that much. Remember in Romans it says, God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so our sins are forgiven never because of what we have done, but always because of what Jesus has done. And so now is the time to deal with your sin. Because no matter how good you may be, it's not enough. It's not enough. That's just an illusion. Most people, all people, are sinners and need Jesus to wash their sins away. Let's pray. Dearly Father, as we come before you this morning, remind us that you love us. But Father, also remind us that there's nothing we can do to make it right with you. That we are impure without Jesus. That it's only through what he did that we can have that forgiveness of our sins, that those impurities are washed away, that they're done away with and gone, Father. It says, as far as the east is from the west, they've been removed from us. And so remind us of that today, Father, that we can never be good enough. But Father, at the same time, may we strive to live a life that honors you and pleases you. And so may we not take advantage of what Jesus has done, but instead may it cause us to strive to live even more for him and be the person that you desire us to be. And let your Holy Spirit work in us and transform us and change us into that new creation that you have made us, that we might live like that and show the world the difference that only Christ can make in our life. So help us, Father, to know that. Thank you for what Jesus did. Thank you for letting him take our consequence, our penalty, our death, so that we might have eternal life with you. Again, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today for our song commitment, we're going to sing the song, Cleanse Me. Seems fitting, doesn't it? And what I want this to be your prayer. This is a prayer. If you think about this, this is a prayer to God, asking him to cleanse you. And so I hope this will be your prayer as we go, that this will be our prayer as we sing it. And if you would like people to pray with you at this time, maybe there's something that's going on in your life and you need some prayer assistance, we've got people who are willing to come up and pray with you. And so we ask you to come forward and they'll help you and they'll join with you as you seek the Father. So let's stand and we'll sing.